The Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case that asks, when it comes to harassment in the workplace, who is a supervisor? The definition is important. As NPR's Nina Totenberg reports, employers are automatically liable for damages in most cases where a supervisor harasses a subordinate.
At the center of today's case were allegations of racial harassment brought by Mayetta Vance, an African-American kitchen assistant at Ball State University in Indiana. The Federal Appeals Court for the Seventh Circuit in the Midwest threw the case out because the alleged harasser did not have the power to hire, fire, or discipline anyone. That definition of a supervisor is narrower than the definition used by most appeals courts or by the EEOC, the federal agency charged with enforcing employment discrimination laws. And so Vance appealed to the Supreme Court, represented by University of Virginia law professor Dan Ortiz.
There are lots of situations where people have power over other employees when they don't have the power to fire them.
Ball State, represented by lawyer Gregory Garr, maintains that Vance's definition is too expansive, so broad that
thousands, if not millions, of workers across the country would automatically be deemed supervisors when in practice no one would have considered those people supervisors.
Inside the court today, Vance's lawyer was first up, telling the court that the proper definition of a supervisor is someone who directs another employee's daily activities, regardless of the power to hire and fire. Chief Justice Roberts interjected, suppose five people work together and the employer has a rule that the senior employee gets to pick the music that's going to play all day. And the senior employee knows that one of the other employees doesn't like country music. So he tells her, if you don't date me, it's going to be country music all day long. So does that make the senior employee the supervisor? Lawyer Ortiz replied that action might not qualify as severe enough. Justice Scalia, okay, let's say it's hard rock instead. Answer, I don't think from an objective, reasonable employee standpoint, the music would impair performance in the workplace. But each case has to be judged individually. Chief Justice Roberts, exactly. And I would have thought the benefit of the Seventh Circuit's test is that it establishes a clear rule and avoids a case-by-case analysis. Justice Alito, what was the most unpleasant thing the alleged harasser could have assigned Vance to do? Chopping onions all day? Answer, yes, that might have been. Justice Ginsburg, but the record shows she didn't have the authority to make that kind of an assignment. The kitchen prep sheets assigning tasks were made up by the chef and the department head. Justice Kagan asked how the Seventh Circuit standard works in practice. This case involves a university setting, she observed. So let's say there's a professor who has a secretary, and the professor subjects the secretary to living hell on the basis of sex. But the professor has absolutely no authority to fire the secretary. Professors don't have that authority, said Kagan, who served as dean of Harvard Law School for 5 years. The secretary is fired by the head of secretarial services. So what does the Seventh Circuit say about that? Answer, the professor would not qualify as a supervisor. Now, in most Supreme Court cases, one side is defending the lower court decision, and the other side says the lower court was wrong. Not so in today's case. Ball State agrees that the Seventh Circuit hiring and firing definition of a supervisor is wrong. But lawyer Garr, representing the university, told the justices the alternative suggested by Vance and the EEOC is too broad. Justice Alito, what sort of guidance would the opinion you're suggesting offer? Answer, you can be a supervisor without the ability to hire and fire, but merely having some occasional or marginal authority to lead or direct is not sufficient to qualify an individual as a supervisor. Chief Justice Roberts challenged Garr's case-by-case approach, apparently preferring the Seventh Circuit's definition of a supervisor as only someone with the power to hire and fire. He conceded that the rule would likely impose, quote, harsh results in some cases, but seemed to suggest that a clear rule is still preferable to a case-by-case approach. The other justices seemed less enamored with the rule, but were less clear about where they were heading. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.